Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Category 5 now, Hurricane Melissa threatening to dump more than 3 feet of water on Jamaica as it moves toward the island.
This morning, Hurricane Melissa closing in on Jamaica. A storm forecasters warn could be catastrophic. Heavy rain already lashing the island. Up to 40 inches expected in some areas, which could trigger landslides.
That's ABC's Sophie Flay. President Trump is in Tokyo. Part of his Asian tour, he'll meet with the new prime minister, the country's first woman on the job. He'll meet with China's leader, Xi Jinping, on Thursday. The Trump administration cutting off federal food aid as of November 1st, which is this weekend, as the federal government shutdown continues. About 40 million Americans rely on those SNAP benefits. Flights departing of LAX and Los Angeles halted briefly amid an air traffic control shortage caused by the government shutdown. Those who are working are doing so without pay. This is ABC News.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
While overall enrollment at the Universities of Wisconsin went up for the third straight year, UW-Oshkosh sees a decrease of 773 students. Official fall 2025 enrollment figures released last week say 190 more students are attending UW schools this year than in fall of 2024. UWO Chancellor Manohar Singh said universities are seeing a decline in enrollment due to declining birth rates and fewer students graduating from high schools. But Singh said not all of the news is bad at UWO. The number of new graduate students is 17% higher than last year. Transfers are up 4%, and the UWO campus has increased the enrollment of incoming freshmen by 2%.
So when I say that we are focusing on recruiting larger incoming classes into graduate and into undergraduate and from transfers, the results are very clearly showing an upward trend and a strong one.
Singh said UWO will expand its marketing efforts for new students beyond Northeast Wisconsin. It will recruit nationally, internationally, and will expand some efforts online.
My role as a chancellor is to highlight the role of education in building this nation, building the communities, providing employment, jobs, providing talent to our local businesses. Every dollar spent in a university is 4 to 7 times multiplied in generating economic impact.
This year, 9 of the 13 UW universities experienced enrollment growth. See the numbers in our story at WISS.FM.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Packers shut down the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers beat the Steelers 35-25. Green Bay fell behind 16-7 at the half. Quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, when we came in the locker room at halftime, you know, the message was that we just weren't finishing. We weren't executing our plays and we weren't locked in on doing the everybody's 111. So, you know, there's plays being made and I think we just weren't executing those and we weren't able to stay on the field. So, you know, I think the first half went by really fast for us as an offense. We had one scoring drive. And so I think the message is just do your job, lock in, and execute.
At one point, Love had completed 20 consecutive passes. Aaron Rodgers on why the Steelers' offense stalled in the second half.
Yeah, we had too many penalties, too many negative yardage plays, and then I wasn't accurate enough on third down, and we weren't great enough space. But we'll look at the film, and you know, we'll get better, and we got a good team coming in next week.
Pittsburgh will host the Colts. NBA, the Bucks with a loss on the road to the Cavaliers, 118-113, despite Giannis with 40 points. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Over the air and on the web, WISS is your home for real news and great conversations for Oshkosh. WISS.FM.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the low to mid 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly clear. We'll drop into the low 40s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a few scattered showers with a high right around 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 42.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend sports and news headlines. Also be joined by our friend and colleague, Jane Matinair of Matinair on Air. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Alba Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It's a Monday morning, October 27th, 2025, and it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening or watching us on all the different platforms, YouTube and Facebook and the podcast and the web. There's just so many ways. However you got here, we're glad you did to get your work week started off right. I got a question for you. If you went to bed early, like I did, do you feel bad? Do you feel a little guilty? Because the Packers really didn't kick it into gear until the second half, and some of us just missed out. In part because it looked like our regular kicker wasn't really ready to come back from injury. But thankfully, while some of us had clocked out, Jordan Love said, "I will take it from here. Thank you very much," and led the team to 4 second-half touchdowns, sending Aaron Rodgers to defeat by a final score of 35-25. We will talk to producer Parker Olson about his notes on it, because, you know, he's young and strong and can stay awake for these kinds of things. So we'll ask him his impressions of the game, as well as Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media sports director, will be along throughout the course of the morning as well. And as always, we welcome your comments on the game or anything else that went on this weekend. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Use that Civic Media app if you like to call us or text us, or leave us a voice note. We'd love to have your feedback, or in the comment sections of YouTube or Facebook. That would be the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. Also coming up, Selena Heller is going to have a report about how this government shutdown imposed by the president and congressional Republicans is causing real pain to Wisconsin families, and you're going to hear that in the anguished voice of one Wisconsin woman who is in Selena's report coming up just under from now. In our question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter, we might have finally come up with the ultimate 50-50 question. Not just, you know, are you Democrat or Republican? Or, you know, we're a 50-50 state, but on something you might not expect. And it turns out the issue is nuclear power. Should Wisconsin have a new nuclear power plant? You'll recall that there was one in Two Rivers for many years and then shut down about a decade ago or so. And now there's interest in building a new nuclear plant on that site. And that would come with claims that nuclear energy, you know, is carbon free. I mean, not entirely. You got to build the plant and the operations and everything, but nuclear power generation itself is carbon free. But it also comes with other potential hazards. And so far, of the many answers that have come in, it's been a pretty close to 50-50 division on whether Wisconsin needs a new nuclear power plant and would you support it. That was our question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter through Up North News, Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and you can subscribe to it by heading to the Up North News website, upnorthnewswi.com. click subscribe in the top banner. There is, of course, a weekday newsletter that goes out as well that Ellie Bordeaux puts together for us. And in there includes a link to my new website story on how the president and Republicans are weaponizing red tape for SNAP and Medicaid and how it's hurting working families. But Ellie also has a story in there about Giving Tuesday. It's going to sneak up on you because Thanksgiving is kind of late in the month this year. So Giving Tuesday is on December 2nd. And so it's not too soon to start thinking about that. She has a story about the group Bikes for Kids Wisconsin, which has fixed up and given thousands of bikes to kids in several communities statewide. They are accepting donations to fix up and distribute bikes to children in communities across Wisconsin. The website is bikesforkidswi.org. That's bikesforkidswi.org. And again, that story and more in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, I think we have set the table now for Parker to welcome us now and fill in the sleepy members of the audience. Well, no, actually, we're less sleepy. We actually got enough sleep. We're not sleep deprived. We're football deprived, Parker, because some of us admittedly might have given up on the team a little too soon. I will plead guilty.
Tisk tisk.
I know. Tisk away. I've earned it. I get it. So, but again, you get my point that Mr. McManus was not looking good. Two missed field goals.
Yeah.
And that point, we're down at halftime, and I'm like, I don't want to stay up late for this.
That's valid. I don't blame him for missing the first field goal. Like, it was a long field. I forget what it was. I want to say it was 57. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really blame you for missing that. It was short, if I remember right. I don't know by how much, but it was short.
And
coming off an injury, I think it could be kind of tough, especially on that field. I'm really surprised that they let him get the start in Pittsburgh, given is it Haverisk? He was doing perfectly fine.
He was doing fine. He's doing fine. Bring him back.
And that field in Pittsburgh is really crappy.
That field was awful.
Yeah, because the college
also plays. Oh, my goodness. It's like they're playing on a beach or a sand lot or something.
Yeah.
It was really bad. So, yes, Tony, as he notes on Facebook, I did miss Jordan Love with 20 straight completed passes between the end of the first half and a big chunk of the second half, which I don't even know if I would have caught that at the time. I'm not paying that much attention. You know, the announcers probably would have said it at some point, but
they didn't say it until late into it, I think.
See, it's you notice it more readily in baseball when you notice, you know, like, wow, he's retired. Like the Dodger pitcher who pitched a complete game against the Brewers in the NLCS and pitched a complete game in the World Series a couple of nights back.
It wasn't the same guy, was it?
Wasn't it? Yes, it was, because he was the first person to have two complete postseason games in like a million years, something like that. I am prone to making mistakes, as Alicia points out, the nuclear power plant, not in Two Rivers. That we're talking about the one in Kewaunee County, not Two Rivers. There were two different ones up there. And Tony responds on that one, no new nuclear plants until they can figure out how to dispose of the waste, which, well, that we haven't gotten to that little issue yet. So that is part of what is inspiring the answers. Anyway, the World Series is what, tied at a game apiece now. It's a little bittersweet. I would love to be sitting here this morning going, God, can you believe the Brewers are up, you know, 2-0 in the World Series? This is going to be great. Yeah. It turned out to be not that kind of a year after all.
No, it never is.
And so, but getting back to the football there. So you stayed up. You were happy you did. No regrets.
No, some regrets. Not that many.
You know, nothing that coffee can't. Oh, you're not a coffee drinker. Okay. Well, the official record of the game reads like this. Jordan Love passed for 360 yards and 3 touchdowns as Green Bay raced past Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers 35-25. The Packers had 454 yards of total offense. In other words, Jordan Love understood the assignment. You're playing Aaron Rodgers for the first time, and everybody is going to be watching.
Jordan Love, I don't know if this was the Jordan Love legacy game or the Tucker Kraft legacy game.
Well, that was going to be my next point. Yeah. Is that, you know, again, in our at our neighborhood watering hole, and I'm not here to glorify alcoholic beverages at 6:15 in the morning, but there is the passing around of some little green shot glasses after touchdowns, which ostensibly is apple pucker. It might have been diluted a bit, but anyway. So the new line there is if you want pucker, go to Tucker, because that guy, 7 passes caught for a career high 143 yards and 2 touchdowns. Love went 29 of 35, and Christian Watson is back. Christian Watson, 4 receptions for 85 yards in his return from a torn ACL in the 2024 regular season finale. And I will admit, I fully expected Christian Watson, unlike his very first run, to blow out a tire, but he did not. And so Josh Jacobs, now he ran for just 33 yards, but he had a 3-yard scoring sprint on the first play of the fourth quarter that put the Packers up for good. By the end, Aaron Rodgers found himself in familiar territory, hearing the fans chanting, "Go Pack, go!" Except it was the first time in 21 years that Rodgers found himself on the other end of it. Green Bay now 5 wins, 1 loss, 1 tie, staying in contention in a wide-open NFC. They will host the Carolina Panthers next Sunday. It is a noon game that you can hear on several Civic media stations. Roger from Stevens Point on Facebook: the fact that a guy named Kraft plays for a team whose fans identify as cheeseheads is really wild.
It makes me happy. It makes Tucker Kraft in every way is the perfect Green Bay Packer.
Yeah. Oh, I just think he's great. I was saying last week, why aren't we throwing him more? Why aren't we using him more? And clearly somebody heard me. Tony writes up in Ashland on YouTube: Kraft was amazing, but they don't need to constantly use the video of his hometown for every primetime game. Oh, Tony, disagree. Yes, they do. If you're from a teeny tiny town in South Dakota, and like the entire county is packing into one little roadhouse to watch the game, I mean, trust me, from working in TV, that's gold. Yeah. You're going to go to that every chance you get. Yes. So he also, Tony writes, Watson was my biggest surprise of the game. He'll get hurt in like 4 weeks, not the first game back.
Yeah, okay. That's probably fair. I feel like we need to highlight Emmanuel Wilson running the ball. He was incredibly good running for the Packers. He got downhill like incredibly quickly. He was really fun to watch last night.
I will have to pay more attention to that. Yes. How did your Whitewater Warhawks do?
We did very good, Pat.
You did very well. You don't do very good.
We did goodly.
You feel good.
We did goodly,
did well.
Pat.
Okay, goodly. That's better. Okay.
Very good first half as per usual, actually. And then they started to look like they were going into their shell again in the second half, which is kind of a normal thing that they do. They usually only play 30 minutes.
This was against Platteville?
This was against Platteville, yes. But then they figured it out. They kind of got the kick in the pants and figured it out in the second half. They kind of dominated again in the fourth quarter. 29-19 win. The Miners pickaxe is back in Whitewater, Pat.
The Miners pickaxe.
Yes.
All right. And again, it's a reflection on the state of football in Wisconsin these days that we're going Packers, Whitewater, and then the Badgers. The number 6 team in the country, Oregon, overcame a slow start to hand Wisconsin its 6th straight loss. 21-7 was the final score on a rainy Saturday night. Wisconsin avoided its 3rd straight shutout. Hunter Simmons, a 2-yard touchdown pass to Lance Mason with about 8 minutes left in the game. The touchdown snapped a drought of 11 straight quarters without a point for the Badgers, who dropped to 2-6 overall and 0-5 in the Big Ten. Let's see. The Badgers had not gone scoreless in 3 straight games since 1968. So, you know,
not
got
today.
That going for us. I love this. The AP story says the loss was tough, but getting the scoring drought out of the way was important, according to coach Luke Fickell. Yeah. And then there's this long quote about how important it is to score some points. At time, we've got to figure out how to string these things together and get better. That's right, coach.
Yep.
Yes, you do.
Yep.
Yes, you do. The Badgers will host Washington at Camp Randall this coming weekend. I think start time is still TBD. And I just got a note from Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who was there watching the game, but unfortunately says she's not in a position to be able to join us at 6:30. She has no voice, she says.
Yeah.
Which just underscores that It clearly was a fun game to watch, especially in the second half. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Do you or someone you know have disabilities but are challenged finding resources and guidance? Focus on Freedom provides support for children and adults with diverse abilities with a variety of customized services such as one-to-one supports for individuals like daily living skills and training, along with personalized caregiver supports like foundations and caregiving seminars. Focus on Freedom empowers individuals to reach their goals and live as independently as possible, serving residents throughout Winnebago, Outagamie, and Fond du Lac counties. Find us at focusonfreedom.org, empowering independence, transforming lives.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business. Well, Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But Wallet Hub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s. And CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at FightingBlindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
To tell you what else is coming up on the program today, then just a little bit more sports and a little bit of a peek at the news headlines today. We'll be talking to Lucy Ripp from A Better Wisconsin Together coming up at 7:35, and that'll be about how there are already numerous candidates running for election in 2026 on the Republican side of the ticket that have proven to be hostile to basic women's health care rights. We'll get into that. In our 8:30 half hour, we will talk to Carmen Solis, a small business owner from Altoona. She's originally from Mexico. She has created her own American dream here in the Chippewa Valley and recently spoke to the Wisconsin Latino Chamber of Commerce about her story and to provide encouragement to others because America can, has been, and will once again be a place where immigrants can make their dreams come true and make a better life for themselves here. We will be talking to Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Koska. We'll talk to our friends John and Gordy out of Madison. Jane Matinere will preview her show coming up at 9 o'clock here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you can't stick around for all of that, well, for heaven's sakes, get over to Spotify and get us subscribed to as a podcast, or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And that way you can follow along and not miss a guest at any given point as we cover so many different subjects, and including sports, and that would include the Milwaukee Bucks, who are in action, and they lost against the, where did my Bucks score go? There it is, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, 118-113 on Sunday night. Giannis was one assist shy of a triple-double. He had 40 points, 14 rebounds. The Bucks will host the New York Knicks on Tuesday night. The Badger women's volleyball team won twice at home over the weekend, beating Washington on Friday and Oregon on Sunday. The Badger women are ranked 12th nationally after a loss last week, so the Badgers are now 15-3 on the season. And what an assignment they have at the Fieldhouse coming up this Friday, a Halloween matchup with the number one team in the country. Yes, of course, we're talking about Nebraska. Nebraska is 20-0 on the season. The Badger women will try to defeat their nemesis starting at 8 o'clock Friday night, a Halloween matchup at the Fieldhouse to be televised on the Big Ten Network. And the Badger men's basketball team has one more exhibition game left before they start their season, and it'll be against UW-Platteville, and you'll be able to hear that on some stations of the Civic Media Radio Network Wednesday starting at 6:30 on stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. If you want to learn more, head over to the website civicmedia.us. In the news over the weekend, one of the stories that really stuck out at me was that as the government shutdown drags on, federal employees are either being sent home, some are being laid off, almost none of them are being paid. Well, I say almost none of them because occasionally one of the issues that comes up during a shutdown is whether to find a way to pay people like air traffic controllers who are under stress and keeping us safe, but also members of the military. And over the weekend came this word that an anonymous donor wanted to donate something like $130 million to help pay our troops, which sounds generous, but with about 1.3 million members of the armed forces, that's $100. And you might think, well, I mean, it's still a nice gesture if everybody were to get $100 in lieu of a paycheck, but you're missing the larger point. And the larger point is that we don't do paid mercenary armies in this country. We want armed forces that are loyal to the American people, to the American flag, to American ideals, and not fight simply for whichever person pays them. We've certainly learned that lesson from history over the many years, haven't we? Well, not entirely. And so from Politico, there are members of Congress who say that while they're happy troops might be getting paid, they're not necessarily happy that Trump is claiming all kinds of vast power over federal spending in order to do it. Because once again, you have a Congress that has neutered itself and has the power to work together, not to impose things, but to work with Democrats because they need Democratic votes. And I know that there are still some people who are grappling with this basic math, who somehow want it to be Democrats' fault. They don't run the show. Republicans are running the show, and they know that they need 60 votes to get anything passed. And so that's how this works. When you don't have the votes and you need the votes, you talk to each other. Republicans don't want to talk. They're looking to impose maximum pain to try to simply get Democrats to cave, to get Democrats to say, you know what, you're right. Let's go ahead and jack up health insurance costs for every American family out there. No, they're putting a line in the sand saying, this is not tough, guys, you Republicans. You simply have to not jack up everybody's health insurance costs, and we can get this government running again, get everybody paid, including the military, including our air traffic controllers. Over the weekend, it was noted that flights to Los Angeles International were halted at times due to an air traffic controller shortage. And Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is once again trying to talk big at the bar all about how, you know, he wants to put this on Democrats somehow, when this is a guy who, again, once upon a time claimed he would be like this independent voice for northern Wisconsin. Remember that? It seems so quaint so long ago. This is a guy that could stand up to Elon Musk. He's been the leading voice for that. He should be the one to be able to go to his president and say, you know, I think we have to find a way around this because my air traffic controllers deserve to be paid. And they do. All federal employees do. But to do that, we need a cabinet secretary and others willing to speak some truth to power. Gladys Knight takes us on a midnight train coming up in today's history lesson right after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
From Main Street to the Capitol in Madison, WISS is where Wisconsin turns for real news and great conversation.
USDA's Farm Service Agency offices are open with limited capacity. Don't forget, that means dairy producers and beef producers. You can protect the value of that beef entity on your farm. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Katie Burgess, dairy analyst with EverAg, explains some of the reasons why you want to look at that next.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
A new dairy beef insurance tool is something that a lot of producers should be taking a look at now. Katie Burgess, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, explains the benefits.
Right now, the profit is coming from the calf values because the milk prices are only lackluster. And it was kind of perfect timing that USDA launched this product right at the same time that calf values are hitting new record high levels. And so we have been encouraging dairy producers to go out and learn more to see if it would be a good fit for their farm. Because while the milk prices you can protect for next year are only so-so, you can go out and protect nearly record high calf prices out till next summer.
Katie Burgess, a dairy analyst with EverAg, giving some advice on how to protect one component of the financial pie on Wisconsin dairy operations. And again, remember, the U.S. Department of Agriculture Farm Service Agency offices, open with limited capacity, can take your application. Markets are next.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
On Friday, barrel cheese gained a penny and a half to 177. 40-pound block cheese was up a nickel and a quarter at 177 and three quarters. The AA butter, 4 cents higher at 160 and a quarter. November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning up 13 cents, 17.98. December corn up a nickel at 428. March is up 6 cents, 443. November soybeans are up 16 cents at 10.57. January up 15 cents at 10.75. The July wheat currently 9 cents stronger, 5.59 a bushel. Not a bad start to a Monday. There's your market update. I'm Pam Yonke.
Real news, great conversation. Right in your inbox. Subscribe to WISS's newsletter and never miss the stories right here in Appleton.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the low to mid 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly clear. We'll drop into the low 40s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a few scattered showers with a high right around 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
oh, you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by the chief economist for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. We talk about the shutdown status and what challenges Americans face with the removal of the ACA subsidies. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Only Gladys Knight could make failure sound fun and sexy and melancholy all at the same time. On this day in 1973, Gladys and the Pips began a two-week run atop the singles chart for Midnight Train to Georgia. Again, this day in 1973. In today's history lesson, it was 3 years ago today, Parker, that Elon Musk took over ownership and control of Twitter. Happy dumpster fire birthday to you, Twitter. You've been nothing but a cesspool of MAGA porn ever since. I did not see that coming. Oh, wait. Yes, some of us did.
I'm just impressed that the thing hasn't actually, like, blown up and stopped functioning. Because that was a major concern for a while, actually.
Yeah. There's a lot of bubble gum and baling wire keeping this thing together. Yeah. And people still using it. Blue Sky and others have tried to become alternatives, and it lives like Frankenstein's monster here of what it used to be.
I will admit, I'm mostly on Twitter.
On this day in 1904, the subway opened for the first time in New York City. Over 100,000 people each paid a nickel to take a ride on the subway.
It's a lot of nickels.
You can't get much for nickels anymore in this day and age.
Can you get anything for a nickel?
I
don't know what you can get for nickels.
No, I don't know that you can. I mean, Quick Trip isn't giving out pennies anymore. Nickels can't be that far away. On this day in 1682, the city of Philadelphia was founded by William Penn. You know, the guy they named Pennsylvania for. So happy birthday to Philadelphia. It's a shame that Dr. Lyerly can't join us because one of her big-time crushes has a birthday today. Happy 67th birthday to Simon Le Bon. So Duran Duran's lead singer turned 67 years old today. Pause here. Kristen inserts long story about Duran Duran. Okay, we'll come back. Remind me to ask her about it on Friday.
Oh, wow. That long of a story?
Yeah. Well, no, she probably has multiple. I don't know. Let's see. Tony's idea on nickels is to start saying nickel for your thoughts. With inflation, I think a penny is too low.
That's a great one.
Happy birthday to WISN-TV, Channel 12 in Milwaukee. They began broadcasting on this day 71 years ago, 1954. On this day in 1955, the movie Rebel Without a Cause, starring James Dean and Natalie Wood, was released. And our next happy birthday goes to singer Lee Greenwood. I mean, everybody in MAGA world loves Lee Greenwood. He's 83 years old today. So won't you join me and sing along with the ultimate American song that Lee Greenwood is so proud to sing. He sings it all the time about how great America is. Let's play Lee Greenwood.
In every Canadian heart, and it's what? Time you stand and say, that I'm proud to be in Canada.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Oh, gosh.
What land?
God bless you, Canada.
Huh. Well, that's troubling.
That's not anyway. What I remember. Oh, well.
Happy birthday, Lee Greenwood, who's proven to be extremely versatile, as any good American should be. This is the anniversary of the birth of former President Theodore Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt, born this day in 1858. John Cleese from Monty Python is 86 years old today.
There we go.
And now, so now officially the funniest 86-year-old man alive.
Probably.
This is the anniversary of the birth of the late Dick Dodd, born this day in 1945, lead singer of the Standells. They'll live in rock and roll history forever for their little song here about the city of Boston. But I love that dirty water. Oh, Boston, you're my home. It's the anniversary of the birth of the late Scott Weiland, lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots, born this day in 1967, passed away in 2015. On this day, 50 years ago today, 1975, Bruce Springsteen was on the cover of Newsweek and the cover of Time magazine, something that did not happen very often back in the days of news magazines. You might have to ask your parents about that. But anyway, it was all amid acclaim for his groundbreaking third album, Born to Run. And both magazines took note and put him on the cover 50 years ago today. On this day in 1982, Prince released his fifth album. Here's the title track. Remember, this came out, people were like, 1999. Oh, that's so far away. Why is he singing about a song 17 years from now? It's going to take forever for that to get here. In hindsight, not really. It was there and now it's been gone for 26 years already. But the album 1999 came out this week in 1982. It was a breakthrough for Prince, selling more than 5 million copies worldwide. Thanks not only to the title track, but Little Red Corvette and more. What is it about Taylor Swift in October? She's like all over October.
I don't know. I guess it's her season.
I know she has a birthday in October. That much I know. Maybe that has something to do with it. Anyway, it was on this day 11 years ago in 2014 that she released not 1999, but 1989 with singles like Style and Shake It Off and this. And I know it'll make me sound like, you know, a dated reference here. Taylor Swift has had, what, you know, 500 albums put out already or something like that. But the two singles off this one, Blank Space and Style, I would still say are my two favorite Taylor Swift songs.
I don't remember Style. Am I nuts?
Cue it up. You'll know. You'll know it as soon as you hear it. You just don't know it by the title that well. So she hasn't put out that many albums. You know who's put out a lot of albums? The people behind Now That's What I Call Music.
Oh God.
And it was on this day that the very first Now That's What I Call Music compilation CD was released with 17 different hits, from Hanson's Mbop to the Spice Girls' Say You'll Be There. The first 29 of these all went platinum.
Really?
Now That's What I Call Music Volume 90 was released in May of last year, and that was the last one in the States.
Aww.
90 editions. Now in the UK, they're still putting out these CDs. Volume Now That's What I Call Music 122 is coming out on November 14th in just a couple of weeks. Huh. You didn't have any of them?
I think we did. I don't really remember them very well, but we definitely did.
Compilation CDs were really great, as Tony notes on YouTube, because they were amazing. Don't forget Jock Jams. Tony, we could never forget Jock Jams. I mean, come on. Let's see. Let's go to the National Day Calendar and see what you got for us.
Yes, it is National Grandparents Week, so if you still got your grandparents.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I will. I will take all of your accolades. You know what? I did absolutely nothing to make this happen.
I got
that, to honestly become a grandparent. You know,
totally forgot that you're a grandparent for a second there. I was like,
I'm flattered. That's great. I have a daughter with a birthday today. Again, I mentioned both my daughters had birthdays last week of October, and Yeah, I tell you, to have daughters who are now in their mid-30s, one turns 35 this week, one turns 37, like, this is weird because I still feel, you know, 36, and the math ain't working on that. But anyway, they have since made me grandparents, and I love them so much for it. And so, yes, happy Grandparents Week to all of us grandmamas and grandpapas. What else?
It's also American Beer Day, Pat.
American Beer Day.
American Beer
so
Day.
Apparently today, no Guinness for anybody, or Stella Artois or any of those other foreign beers. Yeah, drink an American beer today. Yes. All right. Noted.
Stick with your domestic.
Okay. What else we got?
We've also got National Black Cat Day. I think that kind of kicks off a week of Halloween-themed here.
That makes sense. Okay. All right.
It is National Mentoring Day. If you have a mentor that's close to you, I guess.
Yes. And I think that... I don't know that... How do I say this? Thank a mentor. The thing with mentoring is a lot of people don't like consciously go into it. They just, you know, enjoy teaching what they do. And I think if you actually went up to them and said, Happy Mentoring Day or Happy Mentor Day, they'd be like, I'm just here teaching you stuff so you stop screwing up. That's all. But hey, I'll take the day if you want it. Yeah. Let's see. From Roger on Facebook, we had KTEL Records back in the 70s and early 80s. Yes, Roger, very much so. And you know what? Now that I've talked about, now that's what I call music, having, you know, 90 CDs. It does make me wonder how many KTEL Records were ever made. And a quick check on Google says KTEL released hundreds of compilation albums between 1968 to 1990. I still love seeing on social media, somebody will put up one of those old KTEL record commercials where it's just clip after clip after clip after clip of songs. I mean, it is totally the soundtrack of my childhood. Tony asks, is Pat mentoring Parker enough to celebrate that too today? No, absolutely not. I am not teaching this young man any kind of useful life skills. Thank goodness he's getting a paycheck so he gets something out of this experience. Alicia says, hey, my mom has one kid in their 40s, almost another in his 40s, and a grandkid in their 20s. I know, I got a grandkid who's 19. It feels really weird. And also for Alicia, what else is it today?
It is Navy Day.
Like the color or the U.S. Navy?
My understanding was U.S. Navy, I believe.
Okay. Because I know we had the Naval Academy birthday like a week or two ago. So I don't know what
it
if there's something
today.
Particular about Navy Day today. But hey, Navy Day, we will take it.
U.S. Navy Day. I don't All know right. why this is different from the other one. But you know what? Hey, it's a big branch of the military, so it gets 2 days.
It's a big calendar. There's room for everybody. Sometimes for you to get a couple of different ones, and that's just totally fine. All right, so there you go. And then of course you've got Halloween week, people getting all set for that over in the Up North News Daily newsletter. We've got at least one more photo of people putting up their Halloween decorations, because again, some of these decorations are getting insanely detailed, and I mean, large, like not just the 11-foot skeletons, but all the big inflatables and everything else that goes on with it. I just hope all the trick-or-treaters stay safe with all that stuff laying around on the yard there. Anyway, you can send in your photos to us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or put it in the comment sections of YouTube or Facebook, rather, and we'll get it that way. Or send it as a text message using the Civic Media app, and we'd love to tell people, you know, where you are and what it is that you put up in your house that made everything so special. Coming up in our next hour, we will hear from Lucy Ripp at A Better Wisconsin Together about anti-choice candidates already filling the ballot for 2026. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And I'll write your name.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Windows for a Cause is back. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411, letting you know that on October 28th at the new Trout Museum of Art in downtown Appleton, you can help support Make-A-Wish Wisconsin with Windows for a Cause. See, artists have turned these old windows into one-of-a-kind art pieces, which will be auctioned off on the 28th, with 100% of the proceeds going toward granting a child's wish locally, and no ticket is required. So check it out. Head to WISS.FM and click events.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again. Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale. This is Valley Focus on WISS. And today I have Manohar Singh, who is the newest chancellor at UWO, University of Wisconsin at Oshkosh.
Oh, this will be my 116th day today.
116th day. You're counting by days.
Because they're so exciting. So every day is a beautiful day. And I know how blessed I am to be able to count in my chest of treasures.
Coming in as the new chancellor for UWO, I know that we'll talk a little bit about what you see as the future for the university, but I want to introduce you to the community, so to speak. So tell me a little bit about Manohar. I want to know about you. Where do you come from?
Well, I am a wanderer with a purpose, and the purpose is to spread the joy of discovery and knowledge and education through being an educator myself. I am a first-generation college student, so I understand the impact that education can have on our lives and also on the lives of our communities. The parents were refugees from Pakistan when in 1947 they divided the country, and we as Sikhs came to India in 1947. I was born in 1965, so I did not go through that trauma, but my mom and dad did, and we were seven brothers. And mom and dad made sure that we go to school naked, hungry, or cold and get our education. And the most beautiful ending of this story of my life is that out of the seven brothers, two of them just retired as Supreme Court justices in Indian states. I am a chancellor of a university in the best nation in the world. Three other brothers of mine were just marvelous, successful, conscientious leaders in their own fields back in India. And thanks to mom and thanks to dad's sacrifices and thanks to education. So I think I am the very core of my representing a student and then representing an educator. And that's my personality. And I'm very proud to be in this calling of mine to teach and to be educators.
When you started your career as an educator, did you start as wanting to educate at the college level?
I did, actually. I recall when I was in my first year of honors school in India, in Punjab, one of the topics was presentation to our professor in the classroom. And at the end of the presentation, he said, "Your presentation was very long, Manohar, but I do see a very successful professor in you." Then I asked my mom, and then she said to me, "Let me check on your elementary school things." And then she was able to see a document about third or fourth grade in which they just had surveys as to what you want to do. I didn't even know probably at that time what professors do. I just said professor. And that's what I have done for the last 30 years. And right now as a chancellor, I also have the privilege of being a full professor of finance.
I was just going to ask you what your study focus was. So it's finance, which a little bit of transparency here. I have a second degree. My first degree is in journalism and English. My second degree is in business administration, focus on marketing. And when I first went in back to school, I was going to go in for accounting and finance. That is a very tough
I do hear a lot that it seems a tough one, and there are parts that are tough and there are parts that are not. And I'm not a mathematics genius, so I avoided the tough parts, but I was able to kind of squeeze through the doctorate program. But you're absolutely right. There are some very high intense theoretical and applied math in economics and in finance. But it's such a joy because you are able to make decisions based upon economic resources optimization,
right,
whether it is finance. And then, of course, people want to see where the companies are doing, what the firms are doing, where the stock market is going, what the interests are doing for buying the houses. It's everyday life that's around. So I think that's probably many of us get, for the lack of a better word, enticed toward finance. And then we find it's a little tough, so we move on to other things. But nonetheless, it's joy.
And finance is one of those things that, as you said, encompasses economics in addition to accounting and business and all that, but economics specifically. And then you get into the minutiae of the forecasting forward and all of that. So kudos to you. I'm impressed on that as it is. But then when did you start developing your love for administration on the administration level? I mean, being a professor of finance, I know you love that, but administrating is a little bit of a different animal.
It is. It is. And I'm blessed to be able to, I want to believe that I'm a little creative. And I'm born Libra, and Libras are known to be a little creative and little out of the box thinkers, if you've heard. And in extreme cases, a little crazy, if you would, in their thought processes, limitless. And I think when you learn economics and you learn business and finance and you have a creative mind, you become entrepreneurial. And that streak of entrepreneurship was in higher education lacking in some institutions. And my chancellor looked at me and said, "Manohar, you can help us solve this problem." And that was in 2013. They wanted me to serve as the coordinator of their business program to build some enrollments and to bring some financial stability. That was at Penn State, Abington campus. And that was an encouraging sign. And we did work there for 2 years. And that really was my first foray into administration. And I just loved it. For two reasons. One, my creativity could be unleashed there, and my training in strategy and finance was helpful in that sense. Then I met a lot of people, which is what I love talking and your interview today will tell you that how much I would love to talk. But one thing led to another. I was seen as a successful business and social sciences division head at Penn State Abington. Ended up to go to the deanship because that was an opportunity in California. I had another opportunity at Southern Connecticut in New Haven, Connecticut, as a dean of the grad school. And we built strong enrollment, 39% or so in 3 years. Then the chancellor at Connecticut State University Systems looked at my record and said, Manohar, would you want to lead Western Connecticut State University as the president?
We'll continue our conversation with UWO Chancellor Manohar Singh when we return to Valley Focus later.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the government shutdown drags on, the Trump administration announces that food assistance for some 40 million Americans will be cut off as of this weekend. President right now is in Tokyo. He has met with the emperor and will meet with the country's first woman prime minister later tonight. Hurricane Melissa has already killed 3 people in Haiti and is now headed for eastern Cuba and for Jamaica as a Category 5 storm. ABC's Ike Ajachi is in Kingston, Jamaica.
Now, right now, it is a little light. The rain is coming down intermittently. The wind is a little light, starting to pick up. That's expected to get really, really intense. This storm has forced airport shutdowns island-wide, sending residents here in a scramble for supplies in what could be the strongest storm to hit Jamaica ever.
Russia has tested a new nuclear-powered cruise missile capable of reaching nearly 9,000 miles. That as the Ukraine war drags on and as the Kremlin warns the U.S. against sanctioning strikes deep inside Russia.